The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.
Darren Donick and Chase, hour number three. Let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park and hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel.
Get some turnovers and, you know, playing team defense. That's trying to get 11 guys to all execute, do their job for the betterment of the team each and every play.
Your ability to continue to hand it off, even if maybe you're not getting the yards, testament maybe to the mindset to the offensive line, to the replacement back?
I think this sometimes the way the game's going, felt like, you know, we could do that. And usually you break one, you know, usually we you do that enough and you break one. If you're able to, you know, keep pounding away at it and get one block and execute, you know, one technique better or make one guy miss, that's always, you know, the hope is that, you know, when you're in a position in the game that you're able to run it, that good things will happen. And, you know, we were close on a lot of things, unfortunately. You know, a lot of those things I just talked about, happened too many times in the second half.
You said yesterday felt faster, looked faster. We hoped to see that still when you looked back at the tape. Is that what happened?
Yeah, I mean, probably, you know, I think probably defensively the success that we had, that's fair to say.
Mike, what do you need to maybe see from Golden tape for him to be active for you guys on Sunday?
Man, can only activate so many guys. We'll see where he's at this week. He's been working hard, catching punts, you know, trying to show us some of those things.
You had mentioned conditioning with him before. Is that something that's kind of picked up and gotten better as far as him being able to get close to the play?
Yeah, I mean, he's working hard. He's conscientious. I like seeing him in the meetings, and feels like he's getting a better grasp of what we're doing. You know, just trying to, you know, each and every week will be different as far as who we have up and, you know, who we have active and where we see everybody fitting.
How nice was it to see the pass rush jump out of kind of right from the beginning of the game this year? Do you feel like that helped set the tone for what you did defensively?
Yeah, I mean, I think that and, you know, I think the run game, I think the way that, you know, we were able to swarm and tackle, we tackled exponentially better this game. And, you know, it's good to see the things that you emphasize and focus on translate to the game. But that first play was a product of, you know, the coverage, you know, helping the rush. You saw the quarterback bring the ball back, and that's because the guy that he was wanted to throw to was covered, and then Danico continued to work, and, you know, that was very positive. And some of the pressure stuff that we did was executed, you know, well, and than sometimes when we were able to get there with four guys.
You only threw six beyond 10 yards, only hit on two. With Julio and Racy back in the lineup, is that something you were hoping maybe for a little bit more? And is that something you're anticipating growing going forward?
Yeah, we'll do whatever we can do to try to get the ball downfield. Tried to. Quarterback got sacked or hit. We're going to protect the quarterback.
Getting that early lead, to kind of play, you know, more as you like, I guess a little bit more conservative style. You weren't trying to dig out of a hole.
Sure. I mean, we'll do whatever we have to do every week to win a football game. We didn't turn it over. We had two penalties. They had nine, four turnovers. So after that, to me, it's really a mute point. Like, we're going to coach and do the things that we feel like win football games. And we'll worry about wins and losses. We want to do better in all three phases. We would like to make sure that you know, the kickoff return that we're blocking better, punt returns, you know, holding the guy up, we got to punt better. I mean, there's so many things that we have to do better in all three phases. But when you do the things that we talk about that we know that contribute to winning football games, you give yourselves a chance. And so, you know, I know that it wasn't perfect, and there was a lot of things that we liked offensively, and, you know, we'll continue to try to improve there and find the small details. You know, there were some cases where the details got corrected from practice to the game, you know, and there were some times where maybe some of the finer points didn't translate, to the game. Well, they're physical, you know, very, very, very physical on defense. Usually always very sound. Pittsburgh, obviously a tough place to play. I just think that there's a mindset and a mentality that, you know, they're going to be in every football game. You know, you've seen them come back. You've seen them, you know, battle back and always, you know, be in it at the end. You know, whether they're playing with Ben Roethlisberger or anybody else for that matter. And that's just going back in the last couple years. So, you know, we'll have to get started, already started, continue to, you know, get our players ready to go on the road, you know, playing in Pittsburgh in December, knowing that there's probably going to be some elements and things that we're going to have to deal with. We're going to have to, you know, kick it well, finish drives, trying to score points, and, you know, see if we can defensively try to stop a really good back, you know, some really good receivers and a Hall of Fame quarterback. What do you think we could do better?
I think the one time where the linebacker came off the edge, we could have someone go high. You know, somebody.
Yeah, that would be on him. And then what'd you think on the other ones? Yeah, what'd you think on the other ones, Tron? He was Ryan was hot, so we'll give that one to him. He got to dirt it. Yeah. He got to dirt that one or roll to his right like he did later on third down and find Firkser for the first down. What's the other ones you had for me?
Ones,
yep, which would be blocked better.
Go
ahead. I'm curious. Yeah, because I'm sure they're going to be. I'm sure they're going to be the same as mine. You know what I mean? That's.
Yeah. Those were the two that stood out to me, especially, you know, that one.
Yep. Yep. And Ryan knows he's hot, and I think he learned his lesson, and he came back later when they had. I think Jenkins was coming, or maybe Ford, and he drifted to his right and made a nice throw to Firk. Yeah, and so it'd have been nice for him to do that on the first one when Wilson was coming.
You were with the O-line a lot yesterday. I don't always watch you.
You do. That's a lie. When the fact that you had to preface that and say I don't always watch you means you watch me.
Are you with them that often or yesterday?
Yeah, I'm the head coach of the team, Paul. I try to go.
Maybe you're with the cornerbacks sometimes because they're having issues. So. Was yesterday a day where you felt compelled to talk to them extra, or was that standard
fare? I talked to every group the entire game.
Yesterday you talked to the offensive line.
What's the next? Who is the next question? John, you want to cover the Cunningham stuff?
Are we allowed?
What do you think you'll get from his skill set, and you know, what role do you see him playing?
Not sure the role. But you know, Zach is a player that has really good length, very instinctive. You know, he's a very instinctive player. He triggers. He's had a lot of tackles. He's been a very productive player in this league. So where all that fits as far as a role, I wouldn't be able to tell you right now. Obviously, he's played on the punt team. You know, he's done a great job as a tackle on the punt team, running down there in coverage. As well as when he started at inside linebacker. So that's something that I know that, you know, Auk's excited about. And then we'll see where kind of everything else fits in. And what was the follow-up?
The follow-up was just his timetable. Is he able to go now? Is he in the building? Is he?
We anticipate that he'll be ready to go and ready to practice on Wednesday.
Factor
how much more difficult is it to bring in a guy like him in December than it was before?
No, we were just excited about adding the player and, you know, excited that he'll be able to be with us and get going on Wednesday and hope and be ready to practice.
As you plan for games, and you said a few times we'll do whatever it takes to win schematically, how do you balance, you know, well, this team might take this sort of approach to win versus still keeping your identity and not reinventing the wheel?
I think that goes what I meant was during the game, how the course of the game is going. And then we'll add some things, and really our job and my job and the coach's job is to determine by Friday, you know, and maybe Saturday, what we feel like the players have confidence in, and that when you call something, they can go out and execute, and they have some answers for hot press. You know, I mean, if the quarterback's hot, that we have answers for. In the run game, that we have answers for different looks that we may get. And then sometimes you end up throwing some of those plays out that, you know, you thought were good plays on Tuesday at 9 o'clock at night, and you're like, oh, yeah, let's put this one. And then you look, and you've got this massive sheet, and you have to start, you know, paring stuff down. And, you know, yesterday defensively we played, you know, some of our most successful snaps were just some of our base defenses because guys lined up, they won, they rushed, they covered, played to their help, played leverage, played square on the back end, whatever it may be. So sometimes it's drawing up great stuff, and sometimes it's playing your base stuff that you know very well.
And a move like Zach, you also thinking long term with guys under contract?
I'm thinking about, you know, this week. Start for me personally, just start, you know, where is he at and how can he help our football team and figure out, you know, different ways to make sure that he knows what he's doing and where we're going to put him and what we're asking him to do. That's really my focus right now.
Organizationally though, long term?
I can only speak for myself, so that's where we're focused on right now.
You raised about screen busting.
Mm-hmm.
What did you do from the get-go that maybe has impressed you so much?
The get-go yesterday or just since he's been here? You know, I've mentioned this, you know, about other guys, but staying late, meeting with our secondary coaches, meeting with Midge, working on, you know, came in right, you know, it's like, hey, yeah, I've played gunner. I mean, it's been a while, but I'll help on special teams wherever I can if I need to help on gunner or whatever I need to do. You know, learned a lot of terminology inside. You know, played outside for us yesterday, you know, those types of things, practices, and, you know, is competitive and communicates. So those are some, you know, a lot of positive things.
When you say he's come in as well as anybody, you've had a lot of guys come.
Yeah, that's, I guess, what I meant. You know, so I can just go back to, like, Dontrell. I remember Dontrell was here late meeting with Midge and, you know, took that to heart. I think he started out initially on the practice squad but was like, hey, if I get called up, and I don't know if he got called up that particular week, but I can remember feeling like if he was, he would have been ready to go. And then he kept practicing well. And, you know, Jordan Wilkins is no different than that. You know, thought that, you know, he's done a nice job. Kevin Hogan, you know what I mean? Those guys worked out before the game, and along with other guys, you know, Golden and everybody else that we've added. And had a great workout, and it seems like those guys are understanding what we're asking them to do.
With the disciplinary issues that Zach had in Houston, is that a conversation you feel like you need to have with him, or is, you know, is the past, and you just kind of work with what you have?
I mean, all I can go by is, you know, what he does here. You know, we all have clear expectations for everybody. We all have rules, and I don't even know what the situation was in Houston. I'm focused on, you know, the Titans.
And I know you're focused on the Steelers. You got 2 games in 10 days. Can you do anything to help manage that as far as
play really well against the Steelers? That'd help it. Yeah. That'd help morale.
As far as prep or
I meant from a coaching standpoint, you have to, you know, I mean, you have to somehow look ahead and somehow be ready to go, right? You can't just wait till you get on the plane after the game in Pittsburgh. So from a coaching standpoint, we'll have some stuff done, and we've played Thursday night games, and we'll pull out that schedule. But I mean, there won't be anything mentioned, you know, from my standpoint to the football team. It'll be all about, you know, this week and the Pittsburgh Steelers and playing on Sunday at 1 o'clock in Heinz Field. Yeah, Bud's progressing. We'll see. Hopefully, we understand that he can come back this week. We'll see how he does, and you know, make the call from a personnel standpoint. Thanks, guys.
Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. We'll come back and discuss some things that we heard on the other side. But first, I'm going to talk to you about my friends at Cool Springs MD. You've heard me talk about them for years because I've been going there for years, and they've been helping me for years improve my quality of life. I've become healthier and happier since going to Cool Springs MD. They've got a very experienced staff that will take really good care of you. Michelle has been taking care of me for years. Dr. Jeffrey Lodge is the board-certified physician over there. His wife, Daphne, is the registered nurse. And they do a lot of things under one roof. It's a state-of-the-art facility there in Cool Springs. It's 1642 Westgate Circle. Maybe you're in that phase right now where you've tacked on some unwanted pounds. Well, weight loss management is important to them, and they've got programs and products and people that can get you back on track and headed in the right direction. Rejuvenation, your appearance is important, and it's tougher. It's more challenging as we age, and their staff can sit down with you and talk about PRP, hair removal, Botox, and finally hormone therapy. Did you know your levels tend to dip as you age? It could be dipping to an all-time low, which could affect you in your drive or your energy or your mood. Maybe you've been feeling off lately and you're trying to figure out why. Well, they can discuss BHRT, testosterone, estrogen. They do it all, and they do it all under one roof. If you want to learn everything about them, just go to their website, coolspringsmd.com, or you can always pick up the phone and schedule an appointment or a consultation by dialing this number, 615-283-7291. That's 283-7291. Thank you, Tim. We'll talk to you this week. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase. Our show is presented by Creation CBD. Products curated for life. By the way, we would like for you to team up with us here at ESPN 102.5 The Game Nashville and the Newton Motor Group this holiday season. Souls for Souls to help children in Middle Tennessee with Souls for Music City. Souls for Souls works in our schools and community partners to deliver new shoes to kids who need them the most. Newton Motor Group will be making a donation to Souls for Souls every time you go over there and someone takes a test drive. If any of their locations, they got four locations, through the end of this month, Newton Motor Group will indeed make a donation. Every time a test drive happens, we need your help. These kids, the joy and confidence they deserve. For more information and to donate, go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. Back here on the DDC. Now, not to belabor the point, but we'll just say this and then we can move on from it. What was so hard about that? What was so hard about that? Why can you have done that on Wednesday? Like, that answer was perfectly fine.
Yep, good answer.
Perfectly fine.
Well, it was on Friday that he was being asked about it. I mean,
well, that's what I said. Why can't you do that?
I thought you said Wednesday. Sorry.
I could have, but I don't know. Why didn't he just answer it that way? He's got great length. What's so hard about that? That's firsthand knowledge from you coaching him. What?
Yeah.
Instinctual. I mean, those are things you could have done on Friday.
Did you catch him when he was asked? I didn't catch who. I think it was Ben that asked the question about the discipline issues, which was a fair question. It was the right question to ask. And I could tell at the very beginning of the answer that he's like, you know, he didn't want to answer it. He didn't want to talk about it. But he answered it the way he should have, that because it is true that he's the Titans coach and he's only concerned about what he is for the Titans. And then he said, you know, we have rules here and expect everybody to listen to him. So he gave a good answer, but I kind of caught at the very beginning of that. He was like, can we move on? But
I have no problem with that answer.
Yeah.
It's the right answer.
Sure.
You know, we're worried about here. Can't control, you know, how many times you've heard me say, only thing I can control is the 4 hours we're on.
Right.
That's it. It's the same thing for Mike Vrabel. Only thing he can control is things on his watch. What happens on somebody else's watch, he can't control. It's like I don't have any control over somebody else, what they do during their time slot, right? I mean, we can only control 10 to 2. That's it. And I don't have a problem with his answer. It's a fair question to ask because there's things out there. But it's also a fair answer on his part because I don't have a problem with that.
Yeah.
Because really, that is the right answer. I mean, why would any coach go down the road of talking about what somebody did on somebody else's watch, right? That's a dangerous place to be. So the mood hasn't changed, and that's where I was going next. So what do we think is bringing this on? Like, he is in button-up, tight mode. Really not in the mood to joke around. It only did, you know, attempted just a little bit. But overall, this is all about business. What do we think's going on there?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's him. He's always that way.
Is he though?
No, this time of year. Oh yeah, I've noticed that. If we went back and pulled December press conferences from years past, I think you would hear that. This is just, and it's along the lines of a Belichick Saban type of, you know, my mood and my message to the media is my message and my mood to the team, and he's trying to keep them focused. They had a big win yesterday. Celebrate that win, but now we're onto the Steelers. We're on to Cincinnati. You know, that's his, you know, he's not quite to that point like Belichick of just being we're on to Cincinnati, but I think that's just the mindset he wants to keep. So I'm not surprised by it.
We're on to Cincinnati.
Thank you, Bill. And that's right. He did joke around a little bit, like he kind of set Glennon up for the skill set question and picked on Kaharski, and you know that's fine. But he is in business mode, and that's I don't think a super bad thing at all for him to be that way. It's just when he gets to the point where he doesn't want, you know, it's just kind of ridiculous about not answering a question when it's a relevant question. Mm-hmm. That's where he loses me.
I mean, we would have no problems saying on this show, if a question was a bad question or out of line, or we would say it, right? I mean, we don't have anything to protect here. I mean, respect everybody's job and know everybody in this market. But, I mean, it's a dumb question. It's a dumb question. So these questions have been more than fair. I mean, they have absolutely been fair. And so we'll see what this means. This is probably – maybe this is – his mood the rest of the way, and that's fine. I mean, whatever. This is going to be an incredible challenge.
Yeah.
On Sunday, this is a Pittsburgh team that is basically their season is on the line, and until the fourth quarter, they were absolutely embarrassed on a national stage in their last game. I mean, embarrassed. I mean, they were getting just housed by a very average Minnesota Vikings team. It was 29-0.
Mm-hmm.
And they were getting embarrassed on national television, and they came back and made it a scary game. Boy, if Minnesota lost that, holy moly!
Yeah, Zimmer probably would have been out.
Yeah, he would have. Yeah, well, he would have been on that list for sure.
Yeah,
that I was doing earlier. But I this is going to be an incredible challenge, and it's on the road. And we'll see. I felt like felt pretty good about his answer about Bud Dupree.
Yeah, that's encouraging that he could be potentially available. I mean, obviously, see how the week goes, but I think there's a shot there.
Okay, I just saw just now in the last minute the latest Super Bowl winning odds. They've just been updated. Who's the favorite?
The Chiefs.
You want to know why we do a top 10 every single week? Because that is life in the NFL.
Yeah.
The Chiefs are now the favorite to win the Super Bowl. The Kansas City Chiefs. The team that was, what, under 500?
Yeah. But what did we all say? What did we all say? Like, hey, let's see how this plays out. It's the Chiefs.
The Chiefs are now the favorite.
They've won 7 in a row?
9-2 Is that right? Is it 6 or 7?
It's hang on. It is.
And you can't count that that win. Yesterday's 2 wins.
Six.
Because...
6 in a row.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah, and that's not the longest winning streak in the league. The Patriots have won 7.
Yeah. That's what's crazy. The longest streak in the NFC is 4 with the Bucks, who I would assume would maybe be second on that list.
The Bucks are indeed second. So yep. Kansas City and Tampa, this is starting to feel like Alabama and either Ohio State or Clemson, isn't it?
A little bit.
So Kansas City, Tampa, who's third? Tampa's 11-2, by the way.
Arizona. No, Green Bay.
Green Bay and Arizona are fourth at 7-1. There is a 6-1 team.
Have we welcomed back the hoodie?
Yep.
New England. I almost said them, and then I was like, maybe not yet. But it seems like everybody's believing now.
New England 6-1. Green Bay, Arizona 7-1. Then who?
Then I would probably throw in the Rams. No, Cowboys.
Right and right. Okay. Dallas and the Rams are tied at 12-1.
Okay.
And that'll change tonight, depending on the outcome of the Cardinals Rams game. Cardinals are 7-1. Rams are 12-1. That'll change. Somebody's going to lose. Well, I guess they could tie. We know that is possible.
So
but those odds are going to change.
Titans slot in behind them, probably.
Titans are 16-1.
Yep. Which is kind of what they've done. They've kind of been sitting around there the last few weeks. So, which I think is around what they opened at the beginning of the season.
Then Buffalo, 18-1. I don't buy that at all.
No.
By the way, Josh Allen in a boot.
Yeah, it's not good.
Turf toe. Not good if he was – it would be better if he was a statue quarterback, right? If he's Tom Brady, like, who cares?
He relies so much on his legs.
Well, I mean, he's their leading rusher.
Yeah.
He's the only chance they have of rushing the football is him. I've been saying it all season. I think the Bills are in big trouble.
Yeah, and I don't put that on him, really. I mean, they're in big trouble because other things, everything around him. I mean, he's done all he can do. He's put that team on his shoulders.
Well, I'm just saying, turf toe, no joke. And if they cannot run the ball, they are so one-dimensional. I mean, it's just going to be really hard. It's going to be really hard for them. And, oh, by the way, who's their next game?
New England.
Yeah, New England.
No,
that's not.
No. New England's got the Colts.
The Colts and the Patriots are Saturday.
They do have a New England again somewhere in there, but their next game is Carolina.
Mm-hmm. Which is, you know, obviously a very winnable game.
Yeah, they got Carolina at the Patriots.
Then at the Patriots, right.
And then Atlanta.
Which, oh, by the way.
I wouldn't. And then they close with the Jets. But Atlanta, Arthur Smith has been doing a decent job. I mean, they're 6-7, second in the South.
Oh, a decent job. I think he's doing better than a decent job. They're not very good, yet they keep finding ways to win games.
Yep.
Albeit against some pretty average or below average teams, but whatever, they're winning. They're not very good, but they may sneak in there. Buffalo's 18-1. Now that will help Carolina and the Jets being two of their final four games. That'll help them. Chargers 25-1 after Buffalo. Then you've got Baltimore, San Francisco, Cleveland, Indianapolis. Isn't it strange that they've got Baltimore in that group? That's how far they've got Baltimore down. Past the Chargers, past the Bills.
Listen, I don't know if I'm going to be right on this because they're still 8-5. But I did, when Ryan and I were doing our odds on the money line, I said that the Ravens would finish last in their division because I just didn't believe in them. And I think I'm right in not believing in them. And they're probably not going to finish last, but they could. They still very well could, depending on how things shake out. I think this weekend with the Titans and Steelers will have a lot to do with that. But I think they're going to make the playoffs, but they're going the wrong direction. They're a one and done, in my opinion, if they do. They just don't seem for real, and especially now with Lamar. Who knows?
Yep. So there's an update. Cincinnati's 50-1. So those are the latest odds. Pretty.
You know what team in the NFC that I am very, very curious about, and we've been watching them, but they almost won yesterday. The football team. Ron Rivera has got that team playing for each other, and that comeback, even though they came up short in that was pretty impressive to see them come back like they did yesterday, down 24-0.
Yep.
And they're still in. They're the seventh seed right now. So I wouldn't count them out.
Micah Parsons, yikes. He is the he is going to be the rookie of the year for sure.
No doubt. No doubt. And I remember you kind of being questioning that a little bit.
Didn't love him. Boy, is I wrong. At least for a season. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean,
long ways to go. But right now, he is just a beast. Man, is he a beast. Did anybody see the doppelganger last night at Lambeau Field?
The Rodgers?
Yes.
Yeah, he looked just like him.
That was scary.
It was very well done.
That was really well done.
I did a double take. I had to rewind. I was like wait, what?
That was absolutely fantastic.
Well, because, you know, they'll show those guys like that dress up like a player. They'll show them in the stands. But then when they did the side-by-side, I was like, holy crap.
It's as close as you could possibly get.
I don't know how you could get any closer. If you didn't know any better, you would be like, why is Aaron Rodgers sitting in the stands?
Right. Robbie Stanley wants to know if Willie's going to have the Packers in his top 20 this week.
Well, he's starting to – they have rekindled their relationship, so he has fallen – I think he's starting to fall back in love.
Yeah. I was a little worried for a while because the Packers were not covering, and then they ended up covering. So it's another example of good teams win, but great teams cover. Mm-hmm. You know, the Browns hurt me yesterday. Damn hook.
They were in control, and that thing almost slid away.
The hook. The hook will be the bane of my existence.
Yep. 2.5.
Yep. My kids will ask me one day, what's the thing that scares you the most? The hook.
Yep.
It's always the hook.
It's amazing. So how did you think Ryan Tannehill played yesterday?
I thought he played okay. I didn't think – I mean, he didn't turn the ball over, so let's give him that. Like, he had no picks. He had no touchdowns. I thought the play – and I had the perfect view of the touchdown that I knew what he was going to try to do, and I was scared he was going to force it in there and try and make a throw. And I'm like, just run the ball. You got the open lane. Just run it. And I was glad that he made that decision to just take it in himself. But I thought he was okay. There were a couple of throws that kind of made me go, rrr. But ultimately he took care of the football. It's just the offense does concern me when they, you know, go up against these better teams. How are they going to be able to score points? I mean, 20 points against the Jags, okay, that's fine, and your defense did the job. But you're going to need to be able to do more to beat Kansas City, New England, you know, teams like that when you get into the playoffs. So that is certainly a concern. But if I had to give it a letter grade, solid B. Is that too high for you?
Yeah, that's too little
B
too
minus,
much for me.
B minus?
C plus.
Okay. I mean, he's obviously been worse. I mean, I think coming off the bye, the turnover thing is the big one for me. And I know could have been one, but he took care of the football. So
yeah, I didn't think they really took very many chances. So
no, it was very safe.
It was a very, very safe plan, and that's fine. But it also has me going, well, I'm not going to go over the top and gush because it was a very, very, very safe game plan. It was almost like, we're going to make sure you don't turn the ball over.
Right.
Still,
which,
it almost happened a couple times.
Now, I would have been curious if they had opened it up a little bit, which I really wish they would have in the second half of, you know, you had a lead, you had a cushion, let's open it up and see, especially when they're getting four turnovers. But you're right, they kept it safe for them. I mean, they definitely kept it safe, and maybe they looked at that as let's just build his confidence up. And get it back to where it needs to be and take the 20-0 win and move on. But I agree. I mean, there were times where I'm like, just let's open it up a little bit. Take some chances.
It just looks like – well, I mean, even like was the screen – what was that screen to Foreman? He like lofts one way up and Foreman – it's a little bit over Foreman's head.
Yeah.
Was it Foreman?
Well, was that – okay, was that the one where he
– off to the left side?
Yes, yes, that was to Foreman. But was that when he was pressured?
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. I mean that you know, I won't put all that on him because he was going to get sacked and he somehow got rid of it. Mm-hmm. So he was going down.
I'm just saying it's like I don't know. I can't figure out. I've been trying to put. I was watching yesterday just kind of to see like what's different. And I get it. You can say, well, A.J. Brown's not there. Oh, okay. And Julio Jones is just, you know, although Julio Jones, I will say that he had a nice block on Tannehill's touchdown run. That was a nice block.
It was.
Okay? He could have easily stood there and did nothing, but he didn't. Tannehill may have gotten in anyway, but still, I applaud the effort there by Julio Jones. But what is it?
It was like, to Hilliard. Teron just corrected me. It was to Hilliard.
It was to Hilliard? Okay. Like, what is it? What's changed? Because the offensive line hasn't been, you know, world beaters the whole time he's been the starting quarterback. So what's changed?
Well, I just think it's inconsistency.
I know, but why? But all we did was praise consistency. All we did was praise.
Right, but
you know,
I mean, they've had more of a revolving door. Yes, last year, Lawan got hurt,
really?
And then they had a revolving door at left tackle, but they were pretty consistent the rest of the way. You had Dennis Kelly at the right tackle spot. You had Saffold that, you know, I thought last year is definitely Saffold's best year as a Titan. You had Ben Jones that was banged up some, but he was even more consistent. I just think through the outside of left tackle, they were just more consistent. And this year it's you never know.
Well, all those guys are in the lineup, so I don't know what. So why aren't they consistent?
No, I mean Lawan.
I mean, the only thing that's changed. I mean, all those guys you named, they're all in there. I mean,
Dennis Kelly was protecting Rodgers last night, so he's not in there.
Yeah, well, okay, but I mean, everything on the left side, the center. I mean, nothing's changed there. And both, by the way, Lawan.
Yeah, but Saffold's coming in and out. Like Saffold gets hurt at least twice a game.
Right.
And he's having to come out.
He's clearly playing through an injury.
Lawan is not the same Lawan. I mean, Lawan had some misses yesterday. I mean, he's very inconsistent. And I don't know if that's the knee or other things or what. I was scared to death he was going to get a penalty on that when Tannehill. I think it was the Tannehill slide, and they called the late hit on the slide. Maybe it was one of the low blocks. That's what it was. Lawan was chirping, and I thought, oh, here we go. Lawan's going to get something.
It was the low block play.
Yeah, that's what it was. Nate Davis has been hurt. So, I mean, it's just inconsistency because of health, I really think is what it is.
So as – I mean, they did change offensive coordinators. You don't think that has anything to
do with
it?
Oh, I think, well, sure. Sure it does. Listen, you remember, we got into some arguments with people on Twitter about this. That is a concern because I know that they have it was a tough position to fill. He had big shoes to fill. They've had injuries, all of those things, but that's not, That's not an excuse, and I do worry about the play calling and what Todd Downing looks like moving forward.
They are showing the Urban Meyer Vrabel handshake.
Yeah, I'm watching it
on NFL Network. Urban Meyer never even made eye contact. He never even looked his way.
If you look at his facial expression, I mean, he just. And listen, you deserve everything that happens to you, Herb. I mean, you're not a. You don't look up good human being in the dictionary and find Urban Meyer, but as we all know, but I mean, he had that look on his face walking off the field like somebody just shoot me.
Yeah, he walked up to Vrabel. Vrabel ran to him, and Urban never even looked at him. And it was, man, that was a frosty handshake.
Well, I mean, do we actually know what their relationship was like?
Nope.
Vrabel did leave.
No, but I mean, it was at the beginning of Vrabel's coaching career. Could there really have been a whole? I mean, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't think we know. But I know that he's all buddy buddy with Ryan Day and Luke Fickell. Luke Fickell's his best friend. I mean, he's got relationships from there that everything's great. And anytime Urban has been brought up, it's now again. This is Vrabel giving the coach answers, but you know, yeah, I coached with him. You know, it's just kind of like there's not much to it. Now, again, yep. he kind of does that with Bill and with others, and but we also know, you know, with Belichick traded him, so there is that. But I don't know how their relationship was.
Yep. All right, we'll come back. We'll bring in our man Pat Sperduto to close out the hour. We need your help. We'll talk about that next on ESPN 102.5 The Game. The Music City Bowl is December 30th here at Nissan Stadium. Tennessee and Purdue. We'll have Purdue head football coach Jeff Brohm coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But first, let's bring in our man Pat Sperduto, former Nashville Cats head coach. Was a coach for the Titans for many years, now a scout for the Kansas City Chiefs, where he's the organization he's been with for a long – how long have you been with the Chiefs now? Decade?
Well, 12 years.
12 years. Wow.
I know.
Where does time go?
12th year. Yeah, it's been a while.
do we give you all the credit for that quarterback that you guys have? Do you just take and say, that's me?
Yeah, that's me. No, it's not. It's the furthest thing. It was one of those, should just shake your head. Okay, everybody shook their head. No, it's he's a good one. And you know, like I said, we're trying to get better. Hopefully we'll be in the hunt at the end. That's all we can hope for. And, you know, there's obviously a bunch of good teams right now in the AFC.
Pat, you'll appreciate this story. So when that draft happened and you all selected Mahomes, I'm sitting we're doing the show at a restaurant, a draft show. Darren's in St. Louis for the Preds playoff run, going to the Stanley Cup final at the time. And I'm sitting there watching on the TV and listening to Floyd, you know, talk through the draft, and you guys make the trade, move up, select Mahomes. I just kind of look over at Floyd, and Floyd's kind of got this grin on his face, like, I like that. That's a good pick. While everybody else is going, why they traded up to get him? What going? And that's a player. That's a player right there. So Floyd, Floyd had that grin and that laugh, so he liked that, and he turned out to be right.
Well, Floyd, you know, we all miss him. Think about him all. I really do. I still think about him all the time and laugh and think about some of the things that he said and just his mannerisms. And I know, you know, everybody's praying for Sally right now and the kids. But Floyd was a great man. I could never say enough good things about my time being around him and what he meant to me personally. And, you know, he touched a lot of people in this community. He is why, you know, we talk about, you know, the teams that have come here, like the Predators and the Titans, but you look at the impact that some of the people that have come here have made and really guys like Floyd and, you know, obviously some of the Preds that have ended up staying here and being a part of this community like Mason and those guys and Hal Gill. And it's a great feeling knowing that once people get here, you know, we've tried to keep it a secret long enough, but once they get here, they don't want to leave, like me. You know, I don't want to leave this community. It's meant so much to me. It's, you know, raised my kids with me. It's, the people here are, you know, big hearts, and everybody cares about, genuinely cares about each other. And that's what makes this community so special. And that's why this thing that we started, you know, way back when, you know, going out on Christmas Day and feeding the homeless, that's why it's been so special, is because people have jumped on board, like the McFarlands and like the Donicks and, you know, the obviously Brad and Michelle Warren, and people just keep coming, and more people want to help. And but that's what this is all about. That's really why we do it. That's why we've started it. And, you know, I picked up the phone and called Zach Pillar, who owns two restaurants here in like little sports bars here in Nashville, and Neighbors Germantown and Neighbors Sylvan Park. And I said, we need a place to drop off stuff. And he goes, you can use my place. And, you know, another guy that's just planted his roots. It's an easy place to do it.
Tell everybody what we're looking for, Pat.
Okay, with, you know, obviously, since, you know, things have changed for us, normally we would ask for anything they could give us to help us, but because of COVID, we had to narrow the list down to specifics, and we are looking for oversized sweatshirts. They all have to be new, and you can get them, it doesn't matter what it says on them. If it's new and it's got tags or in a package, we're golden. Oversized sweatshirts, size large or bigger. And again, we're going to drop it off on Saturday, this Saturday from 10 to 2 at Neighbors Germantown. That's on Jefferson Street, 313 Jefferson Street, or Neighbors Sylvan Park. And that's at 4425 Murphy Road. It's oversized sweatshirts, new socks, preferably not dress socks, but any type of warm socks, because socks will get them through those colder days, an extra pair of socks, gloves, size large or greater, and knit hats. And all those things are just added into a pile that will allow us to at least help some people get through some of the colder nights. And you know, Darren, we'll go out and we'll give out, you know, 150 to 250 meals and make ourselves feel better, because it really is. We can talk about what we're doing for others, but we're really doing it for ourselves, because selfishly we get to feel better about ourselves too.
Yep. Also, we will be at Music City Mercedes next Wednesday, December 22nd. So we will give people opportunity to also drop things off there next Wednesday as well. So real quick, go over the list that people can help out with. And then
okay,
we'll
more
talk
time.
Tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. Oversized sweatshirts, larger, bigger. You know, and again, darker colors are better. It can have anything on it. It doesn't matter. Socks in a package, if possible. New socks, new gloves in the package, or possible larger sizes, and knit hats. And like you said, you can drop it off at either of the Neighbors in Germantown or Sylvan, and then now Music City Mercedes. On the 22nd, you said, Darren?
22nd, yep, next Wednesday.
On the 22nd. And anything you give, we're going to be grateful for. So, you know, we are so appreciative. We also want to shout out for Yogi's Pizzeria in Creep Hall. He's helped us feed so many people over these years, and Yogi and Robin are special people too. So, and, of course, 102.5 The Game.
Pat, really appreciate it. Thanks as always. We'll keep
Jeff Brom, outstanding football coach, by the way. I get a chance to go in there and see him twice a year, and he is a fun guy. Ask him about his Honda. That's all I have to say.
Ask him about his Honda. Okay.
Okay.
Yeah, he still has the same car. I don't know from I know he had it down when he was at UAB. That's how far back we're going. So
really?
He still has the same car, because when I pull into the parking lot and I look to the right and I see the coach's head coach's spot, and I see this old Honda, and he still has the car.
He did announce today they will be without David Bell and George Karlaftis. Is that how you say it?
Karlaftis, yeah.
He's going to be without those two. They're not going to be in the bowl game.
Well, he's an outstanding football coach, and it's going to be a great game, because I think Tennessee's done a great job too.
Yep.
So two good football coaches and two good football teams, and I'm excited for the Music City Bowl.
Pat, so are we. Thanks for doing this. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
You got it. Take care.
Pat Sperduto, good stuff. We're asking for your help. We'll continue getting the word out. We will come back and start the final hour with Purdue head coach Jeff Brom. That's next.
The World Cup Championship will be crowned this week, and you can trade the tourney through the finals on Kalshi, America's number one prediction market platform. Right now, Spain is trading at 58% to beat Argentina, meaning 100 trade pays out 166 if they win. On Kalshi, you're trading against other people in a live market. No house, no odds makers. For a limited time, download the Kalshi app and use code DEFEND to get $10 when you trade $10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Kalshi. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Kalshi products are not available in all jurisdictions. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see kalshi.com/regulatory.